All right, welcome. My name is Divine. This is episode 138 of the Divine Intervention Life Lessons podcast. And in today's podcast, I'll be examining the topic God pleasers versus men pleasers. And for this discussion today, I'm going to be going through two portions of scripture. The first one is Colossians chapter 3, verse 22. And for Colossians 3:22, I will be reading from the New Living Translation. Colossians 3, verse 22. It says, "Slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything you do. Try to please them all the time, not just when they are watching you. Serve them sincerely because of your reverent fear of the Lord." I'll read it again. "Slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything you do. Try to please them all the time, not just when they are watching you. Serve them sincerely because of your reverent fear of the Lord." And then by the grace of God, my next reading is going to be taken from the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5. Also going to be using the New Living Translation, 2 Timothy 3, verse 5. Okay, it says, "They will act religious, but they will reject the power that would make them godly. Stay away from people like that." Right? It says they'll act religious, but they will reject the power that could make them godly. Stay away from people like that. May the Lord bless the reading of his word in our hearts. In the name of Jesus. Amen. So I said that our topic today is going to be God pleasers versus men pleasers. So I think one thing that will be helpful is to make a dichotomy. Who's a God pleaser and who is a men pleaser? Okay. So a God pleaser is someone that uses the Bible as their basis for everything they do. They use the Bible as the basis for every single thing that they do. They don't do anything because that is what man says, ooh, must be done, or that's what the world says should be done. They ask themselves, what does the Bible say about this thing? Here's why the Bible should be your final standard and your final authority in every circumstance. Sometimes what the Bible says you should do is not what the world says you should do. Look at Daniel. The king wrote a law that no one must worship any other person but the king for the next, 30 days. Okay, that's what the world said at that point. But Daniel understood the word of God. He was like, no, the only person I should worship is God. So he made the Bible his final authority in that circumstance. Daniel was a God pleaser. Daniel was not a man pleaser. Now, another characteristic of a man pleaser is that they strive to do the right thing at all times. At all times, whether they are being watched or not. Let me tell you something here. The Christian race involves what is visible to others, but also involves what is done in the secret place. It also involves what is done in the secret place. To be honest with you, in a sense, sometimes what is done in the secret place can be the thing that really, really matters for a person. Because to be honest with you, when things are done, like when you're visible to everyone, you put on your best character. You put on your absolute best behavior. But when you're in the secret place, in your home, in the corner of your room, where no one is watching you, what are you doing? What exactly are you doing? That, in a sense, really does differentiate a God pleaser from a man pleaser. Because a God pleaser, when they're outside, out and about in the world, and everyone can see them, when they're in church and every member of their church can see them, they do the right thing. When they are also in the secret place, when no one is watching them but God, they still do the right thing. That's a God pleaser. That's a God pleaser. So they do the right thing regardless of if they are being watched or not. Because if you notice from the text we read in Colossians 3:22, it says, you know, try to please your masters all the time, not just when they are watching you, right? Do you work really hard when your supervisor is around at work and then sit down and watch Netflix for the remaining time when they are not at work with you, right? That's a very good differentiating characteristic between a God pleaser and a man pleaser. A third characteristic of a God pleaser is that they do the right thing regardless of their surrounding circumstances. So notice I talked about in the second point, I said, oh, that there is a, oh, when people are watching versus when people are not watching you. Now, this third point, I'm discussing more in the terms of when the going is good and when the going is rough. A God pleaser will do the right thing regardless of if the going is good or if the going is rough. Look at Job in the Bible. When the going was good, he served God. He did not deny God. When the going was bad, he served God. He did not deny God. In fact, I believe it was said in the book of Job, I think it's the King James translation, it says, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. So he was saying that even if God is killing me, I will still trust him. That's a God pleaser. That's literally a God pleaser. In fact, I will encourage you to also dive into the story about the three Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Those were God pleasers. You know, when everything was going well for them and they were appointed to high positions in the land of Babylon, they served God. When they were being placed before a fiery furnace, when they were being told, you know what, you must bow down to this other God, if not, we'll throw in this fiery furnace, they did not deny God, right? They pleased God in that circumstance. If they wanted to be man pleasers, they would have bowed down to that image, but they did not. They decided instead to do the right thing, to do the right thing. So, in general, those are characteristics of God pleasers. In fact, I will say one other thing about God pleasers. God pleasers, they choose to obey God. They would rather disobey men than disobey God. In fact, I believe Peter said this somewhere, I believe in the book of Acts, that would rather obey God and disobey man, right? So basically for them, you can tell where their priorities lie. Is God first in their lives or is man first in their lives? A God pleaser has God first in his life, right? The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things shall be added unto you. These people, they seek God first. If they're in a situation where they have to obey God versus disobey man, they have to obey God versus obey man, they'll choose to obey God every single time. Disobeying man sometimes, believe it or not, comes with some pain. When you disobey man, it comes with some pain. But people that obey God, people that are God pleasers, they're like, you know what? I would rather take the pain of disobeying man than destroy my conscience and disobey God. They would always choose God over choosing man. That's a person that is a God pleaser. And there's this part of the Bible that says, don't fear him who is able to destroy body alone, but fear him, I'm paraphrasing, but it's definitely in scripture. So he says, don't fear him who is able to destroy body alone, but fear him who is able to destroy both body and soul in hell. Nebuchadnezzar, when the three Hebrew boys were standing before him and saying that, you know what, we're going to obey God in this circumstance, we'll rather disobey you, king. They were standing before a fire, but what could the fire do? The fire could just destroy their bodies. The fire could not destroy their souls. They feared him in heaven, God, who was able to destroy both body and soul in hell, right? So that shows us that these people were clearly God pleasers. These people were clearly God pleasers. These people were clearly God pleasers. And again, God pleasers, I guess I'll throw in another characteristic. So this is looking like this may have to be a two-part series. But God pleasers, these people, they are people that are not afraid of the world. They're not afraid. Because I'm telling you, one thing that we routinely see in these days that we live in is this modicum of fear. The devil likes to scare people. The world likes to scare people into submission to the will of the world, to make them fight against their faith and not submit to God. But God pleasers, they're not afraid. They're just not afraid. They will say things as it is. They will speak the truth in love. So they are not brash. So let me say something, because there's one thing that you see people do these days in the world where they're trying to defend their opinions. They are very brash. They are very insulting. They are very abrasive about expressing their opinions. No, that's not the way you express your opinions. That's not the way a child of God expresses opinions. A child of God expresses opinions in love. In fact, while I'm here right now, I'm literally going to look up the scripture. Speaking the truth in love. I believe this is a portion of scripture. Yes, exactly. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15. Look at this. It says, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. The Bible says, speak the truth in love. It does not say speak the truth in hate, but you still need to speak the truth. You still need to speak the truth. In episode 139, by the grace of God, I didn't imagine that this would go this long, just describing God pleasers. But in episode 139, by the grace of God, when we talk about men pleasers, you will see that people that are men pleasers, they speak lies so that they do not offend man. They speak lies so that they do not offend man. Sometimes they can speak lies in hate. They can speak lies in... Although, if you're speaking lies, you don't love. We see this confusion in the world where, like, oh, people are saying things that are clearly against the Bible, that are clearly ungodly. And they say that, oh, they are being loving. No, you're not being loving. You're leading people astray. You're ultimately leading those people to hell. But a God pleaser speaks the truth, but they do not just speak the truth. They speak it in love, right? So I think that's one thing that's lost on many people that are trying to make their opinions known in this day and age, especially in the current present world we live in today. People express their opinions very strongly. They express their opinions with a lot of anger. They express their opinions with a lot of brash and abrasiveness. That is not how the kingdom of God works. The Bible says, speak the truth in love. 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 I don't know why I'm saying this, but I believe that God is ministering to someone this morning. But speak the truth. Say the truth, but say it in love. The Bible says we should be wise as serpents, but be gentle as doves. Gentleness is literally a fruit of the Spirit, right? And by the grace of God, I'm trusting God that in the future we'll have a podcast where we address the fruit of the Spirit. But it's literally a fruit of the Spirit. So that you got to be gentle. A person that is speaking the truth, but they're speaking it so angrily. They're saying, if you don't believe what I tell you, that no, that's not the way the kingdom of God operates. And the sixth characteristic, I guess I'll throw in here with God pleasers, is that God pleasers speak the truth regardless of the audience. I guess it kind of dovetails with what I said in point number 5. But God pleasers, they say the truth regardless of the audience. If you notice, there are many churches right now where certain messages cannot be preached. Let me not say cannot be preached. They are not preached because they don't want to offend the congregation. That's not the kind of church you want to go to. If you notice, one thing I've said in many of my podcasts, after I do the prayer of salvation, after I give you an opportunity to give your life to Christ, I say, go to a Bible-believing church. I say, don't just go to a church. There are certain churches that are men-pleasing churches. And then there are certain churches that are God-pleasing churches. You want to go to a God-pleasing church, not to a man-pleasing church. Because there are certain congregations where... because the Bible literally talks about this, that in the last days, people will want things that will appeal to their itching ears. The kinds of messages that they will not convict them, but the kinds of messages that will just encourage them. Don't get me wrong. The Word of God encourages people. But the Word of God also reproves people. It also corrects people. The Bible says all scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, that's correction, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be established, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Let me tell you this, you cannot be thoroughly furnished unto all good works if all you're getting are commendations and encouragements. Think about it. If you're a parent and you have kids, if all you're doing for those kids all the time is just to like commend and encourage them, oh, you're doing such a great job, and you never chastise them, you never reprimand them, you never reprove them, then those children will never grow because you're not exerting any kind of discipline. Discipline is a hallmark of the kingdom of God. The Bible says that Jesus Christ learned obedience through his sufferings. So there were consequences for bad behavior. The Bible says he learned obedience through his sufferings. So if Jesus Christ, our Lord and Master, was willing to undergo discipline and subject himself to discipline, how much more you? You need to be able to undergo discipline. So if you're going to a church where every time, oh, they're always encouraging your soul and encouraging your spirit, but you never get anything that convicts you, that tells you that, huh, you know what, man, you need to repent from the error of your ways. Like literally, you go to certain churches and topics like righteousness are not preached. Things like the dangers of once saved, forever saved are not preached. That's not a place you want to be. That's a church of man pleasers. The church is always talking about prosperity. Don't get me wrong. Prosperity is a component of Christianity, right? But holiness is also a portion of Christianity. Sanctification is also a portion of Christianity. These are all things that are preached in a God-pleasing church, not necessarily in a man-pleasing church. So thank you for listening to me today. I think I'm going to go ahead and pause here. By the grace of God, there will literally be a part two of this. But in part two, I'm literally going to be talking about the characteristics of man pleasers. And again, I trust God that God will help you if you're a man pleaser currently to make that transition. Believe it or not, even me giving this podcast, there are certain situations of my life where I'm like afraid of man and I make the wrong decision. So I'm asking God for mercy. And I'm also asking God to give me the grace and to help me to always please him in every circumstance, in the name of Jesus. Now, the very first thing that you need to do if you want to be a God pleaser is you need to surrender your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to surrender your life to the Lord Jesus Christ because the Bible says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. You cannot have a relationship with God if you don't have a relationship with his Son, Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ came and died for us on the cross. So if you want to make that commitment today, I will encourage you to say this prayer after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I come to you today. I confess that I am a sinner. I need your help. I need your forgiveness. Have mercy on me. Forgive me of all my sins. Wash me clean in your blood. I believe you were nailed to the cross and you shed your blood to cleanse me from sin. Come into my life. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. Write my name in the book of life. Give me a brand new beginning. Sanctify me with your blood. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Give me the grace to do your will all the days of my life. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. And Father, I pray for everyone that is listening to this podcast, including myself. In any way, Lord, we have been man pleasers. Father, I ask that may you please have mercy upon us in the name of Jesus. Give us the grace, O Lord, to be God pleasers. Give us the grace to choose to obey you in all circumstances, whether people are watching us or not watching us, whether the going is good or the going is tough. Give us the grace to always obey you in every circumstance and to speak the truth in love and with wisdom, that your name might be glorified. Thank you, Heavenly Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Now, for those that said the prayer of salvation, congratulations. I rejoice with you. Trust me, there's a lot of joy in heaven because you have submitted your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. And again, I'll just encourage you to do a few things. One, I would encourage you to find a Bible. Find a translation you understand. I really love the New Living Translation. I use many translations, but the New Living Translation, I feel like is pretty understandable for most people. You can even start in the book of John. It will tell you all about the love of God. But honestly, what may be better still is maybe read the book of John first, learn about the love of God. But I'll encourage you to find a Bible reading plan. If you go online, there are many Bible reading plans. But the reading the Bible is something you just want to make sure you do on a daily basis so that you can be fed, so that you can be nourished, so that you can grow in your relationship with Christ. And again, as you're reading the Bible, actually do what it says. right? Don't just read the Bible for fun. No, read it and do what it says, because that's what true repentance involves. In fact, I've made a podcast on this in the past. It's literally titled True Repentance. But when you repent, yes, you've confessed all your sins before God. You've asked for his mercy. He has forgiven you. But true repentance also involves a change of behavior. You cannot just say, oh, I've said the prayer of salvation, so I'm a child of God. No, no. You'll need to say the prayer of salvation, which you've done. But in addition to that, you need to change your behavior. If not, what was the point of saying the prayer of salvation if you did not want to turn around, right? That's literally what repentance means. It's a turning around. So you know that, oh, I've been going in the wrong direction, but now I'm going to turn around and start going in the right direction. Now, the second thing I would want you to do is listen to episodes 96 to 101 on the website. It's a group of six episodes, episodes 96 to 101. It talks about the five basic responsibilities of a believer, the five basic responsibilities of a believer. It's a podcast series that will give you certain things, certain pieces of information that can help you really grow in your walk with God. And then third, go to a God-pleasing church. Go to a Bible-believing church. There are many places that call themselves churches, but they don't do things that are consistent with the Word of God. They preach things that are completely opposite to what the Word of God says. And that's not where you want to be. You see them, they twist the scripture or they modify the scripture to suit their ends, to try to please man. That's not where you want to be. For me, I attend the Redeemed Christian Church of God. The Redeemed Christian Church of God. It's a church with thousands of parishes all over the world. But there are also many other Bible-believing churches out there. But find a place where the true, pure, undiluted Word of God is preached and where you can be plugged in and fellowship with other believers. So thank you for listening to me today. By the grace of God, we'll meet in episode 139. God bless you. Bye for now. Shalom.